Hi there. This is Jim and Ralph. Well, Ralph is on assignment, but he'll be back in a couple of weeks. With me, however, is our special guest, or my special guest, Sheila, my wife. Now, Sheila's been on our podcast before talking about her work as a narrative therapist, but this time we're going to be going off in a little bit of a different direction, and we're going to be looking at the psychological benefits of outdoor activity for children. Now, when we talk, Sheila, about psychological benefits, we're talking about the behavioral benefits, the cognitive or intellectual benefits, and the emotional and social benefits. So, you ready for this?
I am totally ready for this. This is one of my favorite topics.
Yeah. You have, among the various hats that you wear, one hat that says owner of a homeschool company, right?
Yes.
I guess I have a similar hat.
You do.
Yeah. And one of the things that we recommend to our moms is that they get their children outside and do something that we call nature study, which is sort of just a way of formalizing the getting out to nature. But you've told me that sometimes our moms have had what you call pushback.
Yes, pushback would be the right word. I think what happens with a lot of parents who say, think to themselves, oh, it would be a good thing to get my child outdoors and teach them things. But then immediately comes this, but I don't know how to teach them. And so the conversation I'd like to have today is how you do that.
How you get them outside.
How you get them outside.
And once you get them outside, what the benefits are, right?
Yeah, so there's some background information that I think would be really helpful here. And that would be two things. One is Charlotte Mason, just a great educator.
She's a British educator,
British,
right?
Educator.
Mm-hmm.
She said a child, she said several things about being outside. And it wasn't just to do something more formalized like nature study. It was just being outside and looking around and interacting with the natural world. She said a child should be rightly outside and never inside when they can be. Now, we have to be inside at different times in a day, but she's saying get the child outdoors. Now, to complement that, there is a wonderful book. It's been out, at least 20 years, called Last Child in the Woods.
Ah, yes, I know that book well. And there's one funny anecdote in there.
There is.
Where a kid is asked, what do you prefer, being inside or outside? And the kid says, oh, definitely inside. And the author says, how come? And the kid says, well, that's where the electrical outlets are. The idea being, okay, that's where I plug in my devices.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we've taught children that the way to excite and stimulate their senses is through electronics. And nothing could be more harmful for the nervous system and the cognitive development of a child than the exclusive use of these.
Yeah, and you know, with the aftermath, or I guess the ongoing math of COVID-19, a lot of children are now getting taught almost exclusively by electronics.
Yes,
they've got their pads, and the schools are loading stuff in, and thus keeping the kid tethered to the computer indoors.
And we will pay a price for this in terms of the emotional and physical well-being of the children.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned when we can go outside, and you know, I think if you take a look at the news today, you'll notice that California might not be a place today where you'd want to send your kid.
True story.
Air quality there is pretty bad.
Because
of all the fires. But for the most part, the outdoors is a pretty safe environment, wouldn't you say?
Very much so. And I just want to go back to the book, Last Child in the Woods, because the author began to do research. He didn't set out to do this, to look at how children interact with the natural world. But as a scientist and a researcher, he landed there. And what he discovered was there's a strong correlation between ADHD and lack of time in the out of doors.
So attention deficit hyperactive disorder, which is a cognitive a deficit, is linked to a lack of time in the out of doors.
Yep.
And, you know, it can be healed, too. I don't know if you remember, but a number of years ago, we hiked into Montreal
yes.
Falls,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we were all alone. There was nobody there. And then all of a sudden, we started to see kids.
Sitting in the grass or the weeds or whatever, with a sketchbook.
Sketching or writing,
yeah.
and being very quiet. And so we found an adult, and we asked them about this. And he said, well, these are kids that came from the inner city of a large metropolitan Michigan area. And I said, wow, they really appreciate the out of doors and nature. And he said, you should have seen them a week ago. They were running through, hitting trees, yelling, screaming. But within a week,
So it's a perfect example of the heart rate slows down, the parasympathetic nervous system.
Kicks in, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This particular author, his research showed that the average child spends 15 minutes, not a day, but a week outdoors.
No kidding.
That's not enough.
No. And I suppose he's not talking about standing out waiting for the bus or anything like that. He's talking about active participation out of doors, right?
Well, that's a good question. I actually don't know the answer to that, but I would guess.
Yeah, I would think. Wow, 15 minutes a week. Now, if Ralph were here, he would be talking about how he and I grew up in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, and, you know, a day for us, a school day might be, you know, after school, come home, get a snack, tell mom that we'll be back by dinner time, and usually we were,
yep.
Or in the summer, it might be heading out for, I don't know, hours, you know,
yep.
leaving at 9 in the morning and saying, we'll be back, you know, for dinner, and, you know, mom packing us a lunch so we could go exploring in the woods and explore and create and build, and, you know, we did.
Yeah.
And we survived.
And you survived. You didn't die.
We didn't die. No, there were no bad guys out there.
No.
And so, you know, and we remember those times pretty fondly. I don't have really good or fond recollections of, say, arithmetic in sixth grade.
Indoors.
Indoors. But I can remember, you know, going out to the stone quarry and making forts and you know, adventuring.
Exploring the natural world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the other things that Charlotte Mason says is that when you allow a child full experience with their senses, they develop this beautiful aesthetic sense, but also when they are grown, they will look back at this time and see it as a balm and a blessing.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Charlotte Mason several times. I think we should clarify that Charlotte Mason is the
inspiration.
Inspiration for our Living Books curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Sheila and I have both learned a lot from Charlotte Mason and her writings. And in fact, we went to visit her archives, you know, where she near where she lived in the beautiful Lake District
yeah.
of England. But you don't have to live in the Lake District to enjoy the outdoors, do you?
No. And in fact, in one of my classes, I did teach a class for homeschooling mothers on nature study. And one of my students was in Africa, and she said, what do you do when you can't go outdoors because there are lions?
Wow. Okay.
That's never been asked of me before, but she lived on a, I don't know if preserve is the right word, but at any rate, there was fencing around there where they lived, and then beyond that, there were lions.
Well, okay. And what suggestion did you have there?
Well, don't go beyond the fence.
Yeah.
But the other is, the point I wanted to make is that you can live in the city and you can enjoy nature. You can bring plants indoors. Like, for example, my oldest grandson, he has this appreciation for seeds. He understands that you plant a seed and you get a tree or you get a fruit or you get something. And so he collects them and he then replants them. And some of them he puts in pots and brings indoors.
Mm-hmm.
So he's interacting all the time with the natural world. Well, what's that going to teach him? It's going to teach him about the cycles that occur in nature. It's going to teach him about the principles of how to care for something. The list is endless.
Yeah. And, you know, cities are pretty rich environments.
Yes,
if you take a look around, I know in Detroit, there is a huge peregrine falcon population.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they live up in the kind of half-deserted skyscrapers.
Uh-huh.
You know, they were almost extinct here in Michigan,
yes.
And now they're coming back. You can see pigeons, and you can see all manner of birds.
So bird watching in downtown Detroit.
Or any metropolitan
yeah,
city. Yeah,
interesting idea.
Cities have parks,
mm-hmm,
and
yes.
Parks are, of course, wonderful places to observe nature, to get out, to run, to yell, to scream, to hop and skip, and just have a good time. We have a book in our curriculum called, Nature in a Bucket of Sand?
Soil.
Yeah, is that what?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, and in that particular book, the author says that you can, if you take a big shovel full of soil and put it into some sort of a bucket or maybe something you could look through, like a jar, you'll be able to see the wonders of nature instead of bringing the inside out. But we're talking about, or the outside in, I guess, right? Okay. But we're talking about getting the kid outside.
Yeah, now, we are.
There are a couple of resources that go along with this particular podcast. One of them is a list of 18 different ways of getting your mm-hmm. child outside. Another is a really good, short but good TED Talk by Brody Gray. And he is talking, he's a student in, I think, the Columbus school system. And he's talking about the benefits of getting outside, getting kids outside. And we've also linked to a book that you picked up on our way up here, right,
yeah,
Jim?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to using it with my grandsons.
How to Play in the Woods.
How to Play in the Woods. Now, you and I don't really need a book on how to play in the woods. At least that's what I thought. But when I started looking into it, I thought, well, I never thought about that.
Making a stone knife or...
Yeah. One of them was something called a sand mat. And so you create some kind of a tray and put sand in it, and then the idea is you put it near an area where you have been, and you go away and come back the next day, and there will be tracks in the sand.
You see what kinds of tracks there might be and identify them.
I thought that was a terrific idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, even up here, as I look out the window, I see chipmunks, and I see birds, and these are the kinds of things that would be attracted to the sand mat, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Other things that you can do outside that have some real practical application is learning how to find your way in the woods.
Yes.
Learning that the sun and its position in the sky will give you a clue as to where you are, or how to navigate from one place to another using trees as visual sighting aids.
Yes, yeah, those are all important skills to have, and I'm not so sure that many children know how to do that anymore. Anyway,
yeah, I think you're right. I think that you're not getting taught that as you're playing Fortnite.
Yeah.
It's just that it's not there. Something else that you're pretty big on, and that is the use of plants for various purposes, including
yes.
eating and medicinals.
Yes, yes. I'm fascinated by the use of our beautiful world of flowers and leaves and their healing properties.
Yeah.
And so...
And this could be taught to a child.
Yes.
I mean, there's one that's around here, I think it's probably around every place, called Heal All. And so if you have a scratch or a wound, you take one of these leaves and rub it on, right?
Rub it on. And there's mint, and so you can take some leaves and put them in some water and let it sit there for a while, and then you have a little tummy remedy.
Okay. Yeah. And if you get really adventurous, what's it called? The cattail? The bulrush?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you tell me that almost all parts of that can be eaten.
They call it the supermarket of the swamp.
No kidding.
Yep, you can eat all parts. Not at all times, but at different points of the year.
Okay. And something else you, as a parent, might want to look for and learn about and teach your child about, and that is the obnoxious plants, too,
yeah.
Like poison ivy.
Yep.
Late at night when you're sleeping, poison ivy comes a-creeping.
Oh, we don't want that.
Yeah. You have to use your head.
Uh-huh,
you know, you have
to... Well, that's part of learning.
Yes.
That's the goal here, is to be able to discriminate. I also want to just mention, we started with the moms in our homeschool curriculum who... I call it pushback. They don't want to take their kids outdoors because they're not sure of themselves, and they're somehow afraid they will fail.
Yeah, well, and that makes perfect sense if you're in a lion preserve, right?
Well, so I have two suggestions. One is very, very simple.
Okay.
And it really doesn't matter what time of year it is, even if there's snow on the ground. Get dressed for the weather, whatever it is, and go out and sit on your front lawn.
Just sit.
That's it.
Okay.
Now, there is a next.
Okay.
But, and this is with your children. You look down and you see what's there.
Uh-huh. So often, and Ralph and I have talked about this before, we just go through life and we really don't see what's there. We don't perceive it. It's just kind of there, something to get through.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're talking about here, and probably it's Charlotte Mason again, is... really observing the world. What did Einstein say about observation? Is it something to the effect of all science begins with...
close observation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So the other suggestion for these moms, and I found this very helpful, I found it in a book on how to do nature journaling, and it was ask your child to look at what's in front of them, but you divide it into three parts.
Okay, which three?
What's on the ground.
Okay.
What's in the middle, so that would be trees and birds flying and
okay.
maybe low-lying clouds.
So as you okay, so you're looking down, that's what's on the
that's
ground.
That's one.
Then you look like out.
Mid.
Okay, I'm looking at a window now. I see a lake and
yep.
I see an island and I see some clouds. Okay.
Yep. And then you look up.
Okay. I see lots of clouds.
Yeah.
And no blue sky today.
Not today. But having that, see, children have this, you know, visual field in which there's a number of things in the field. And so it really helps them to discriminate, and the parents too, by the way, to do it that way.
Uh-huh. And I think a lot of kids are probably used to that middle ground because they're staring at a screen.
Yes. Straight ahead.
Yeah. And, there are things down below and things up above. And things to the right and
yep.
things to the left.
Yep.
Okay. Do you have any other tips about, say, the emotional benefits from being outside?
Well, just a short story from my own life. I like to, when I talk to homeschool moms, I like to tell them that my family... as sometimes difficult as it was, gave me two gifts. One was unlimited access to the library.
Okay.
The other was the outdoors. And so I was one of six children, and my mother was often want to say, you know, you children, the whole kit and caboodle of you, outdoors.
Okay, my father had a similar statement,
yeah.
You know, go out and blow the stink off,
right.
And I think Ralph's parents did the same.
But the point was that my parents encouraged time in the outdoors. Because they modeled that for me, I modeled it for my own child, and she is now modeling it for her children. So the legacy of simply going out and enjoying the outdoors is big.
Yeah, and, you know, in terms of... emotions. You know, the out of doors is a good place to de-stress. If you are inside and you are being bombarded by social media or by, you know, the news 24/7, Ralph and I've talked about this before. The stress level can get pretty high pretty quickly, and getting out where there are no electrical outlets is really
not
a good thing. Okay, so in terms of cognitive, you know, we've talked about ADHD and the relationship between it and not getting out into nature. Behaviorally, we've talked about how good it is just to be able to breathe in the fresh air and to de-stress.
Oxygen in the lungs, in the brain, in the blood.
Mm-hmm. And then from a social and emotional point of view, it's just the healing quality, I think, of the natural world.
A balm and a blessing.
A balm and a blessing, okay. So we've given you some ideas as to how you might proceed with your child. And one of the things that Sheila said, I think, that's important and should be underlined, and that is, you might say, as my father did and Sheila's mother did, you know, go out and blow the stink off or just get out and play. But there's another thing from a social and emotional point of view, and that is you getting out with your child. It
very
could
important.
Be a real good bonding experience. And with, you mentioned our daughter Bridget. Hey, we used to go out, you know, hiking and you know, looking for strawberries and berry picking. And, you know, I remember fondly my father and I, you know, going out prospecting for gold. We never found any, but we would. He taught me how to build a campfire and how to cook a can of beans over the fire. And
maybe the gold was the relationship.
You think so?
Yep.
I think it's an excellent point. And so we hope that we've given you some ideas. Sheila is going to be a contributor from time to time on our podcast. And I want to thank you today for your thoughts. Do you have anything that you want to say before we sign off?
Only that we're sitting here in front of Lake Superior. We have a couple weeks off, and I have a robin, even though it's mid-September, and
she is
looking around for things to eat. And I just thought, how fun to just be able to, she's so close. And typically robins who are ground feeders do not come this close, but because we have a big rock in front of our cabin, we can see that. So just this one little moment of appreciation gives me something that I didn't have before I saw the robin. So it's the benefits, the gifts of outdoors are so many of the natural world, I should say.
Okay. Well, that's it for this week. So until next week, this is Jim saying, keep your stick on the ice. And at this point, Ralph would say, 'cause we're all in this together.